to the Lead with Purpose podcast, created to help you achieve the success and fulfillment you're seeking, not only in your job, but across all aspects of life. Each episode, we'll be using the expertise of Rob Cross, founder of The Purposeful Leader and creator of the Three Questions Approach. Rob will be sharing in-depth knowledge on how you can unlock your full potential. My name is Louise van der Vesthuizen, and as the co-host of the Lead with Purpose podcast, it is my task to help extract all the helpful insights and practical learnings from Rob, and hopefully ask all the questions you, the listeners, want to know. Rob, in a recent blog, you talked about the loneliness of leadership. I've heard people describe this before, including people who are in top level roles. Is it true that people like CEOs feel lonely?
Absolutely. And I think there's been lots of articles about this. And often, you know, you can read those articles and think it's a bit cliched or not true. But it is one of the most common things that CEOs, top executives will say to me, you know, just how lonely they feel. And it's not surprising when you really get to the crux of it and considering the roles that they perform. But you sort of think, hang on, these are grown adults, you know, mature men and women who are actually, you know, everybody's looking to in their organizations for leadership, and yet they can feel incredibly lonely.
Why do you think these people are experiencing loneliness in these leadership roles?
Yeah, so I think there's a range of reasons. And for anybody who is experiencing this, one, I encourage you to take a read of the blog, but also do a bit of research around it. Because I think for me, the things that drive that sense of loneliness, I think is number one, when you're at a leadership role, you start to realize that the buck stops with you. You're the person in charge of the team. You're the person that people look to. If it goes well, you know, you'll be celebrated. If it goes badly, then yeah, clearly you won't be. And so I think that's number one, that the fact that the buck does stop with you. I think the second thing, and Garth Jones talks about this, who's a great author, wrote a wonderful book called Why Should Anybody Be Led by You, which is a fabulous title, let alone a good book. But he talks about this concept of leaders having a close but distant relationship with your teams. And the idea is that you're a part of the team, but you've always got to be slightly removed from it. And the reason for that is because, you know, you're there to drive performance, you're there to, you know, really engage with each person, but you can't be truly deep friends with everybody because you are still the manager, the boss, if I can call it that. And so for me, yeah, it's a combination of those factors that causes people just to feel lonely. Well, who do I turn to? Who do I talk about? You know, I can't always share everything with my team. And so they end up bottling it up, and it just creates a sense of isolation and loneliness.
I kind of feel in my life as well, like if there's the team bond over feeling like, you know, the leader has done this against them, so they use it as a kind of camaraderie point where they're like behind the backs of the leader saying things, but it's helping them bond. But if the leader was involved too closely, then they wouldn't have that either.
Absolutely. And I remember one of the teams that I led many years ago, I recognized when I first took on the role that they were incredibly fractured, and the relationships weren't good. They weren't a high performing team, you know, all the stuff that we see and feel compelled to act on. And so I went about this process of really encouraging stronger relationships, getting people to work closer together. And what was wonderful is that they formed such amazing bonds where they would socialize together. They would work really professionally well, but they became more than just a team, they just became friends. And that wasn't at the expense of challenge or anything like that, because they were always quite challenging with each other, but they formed this really close bond. And I never felt part of it.
Yeah.
And I deliberately didn't feel part of it, because actually I knew my role always had to be slightly removed. And actually there were moments where, you know, part of me was sort of going, oh God, I wish I was able to go out and do those things with them, et cetera, but it just wouldn't have been appropriate. And so I think that, you know, because of that, that's again where I absolutely felt lonely in parts of that role and had to find ways of managing around that. Actually, as I was talking then, I was reminded of another story. I remember when I first took on a team, leading a team in the Air Force, and I was 25 years old, and every member of the team had been in the Air Force longer than I'd been on Earth. And so I think the shortest tenure of any member of my team was 27 years. And so, I mean, you can imagine the sort of the baptism of fire that created. And even though I'd been on, you know, all this leadership development and officer training and all that kind of wonderful stuff, I still was sitting there thinking, what, somebody please tell me what to do. I mean, I just don't quite know what I should be doing here. And so I went out and talked to my boss and started talking to all of my other junior officer peers around the base. And lo and behold, everybody felt the same way. And so hang on, we're all feeling really isolated and lonely, yet no one's talking about it. No one's helping each other. And it really struck me that sense of loneliness, if you let it get the grip of you, can create a feeling of isolation. And then that can quickly spiral into something that's unhealthy if you don't find ways to manage it.
So you almost need to make sure you connect with similar people on your level, like depending on how you can find it, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think, you know, we talked in the blog around humility, and I'll touch on that in a moment. But I think number one, so how do you overcome that sense of loneliness is probably what I'm thinking. I'm not sure you ever fully do, because of the nature of the leadership role. I'm not sure you ever fully escape that some feeling of loneliness, you know. And I think that accepting that, I think, is actually quite a healthy thing to do. I think finding people and connecting with people and being willing to share with them what you're going through, how you're feeling, I think is really critical. But my advice would be, is find people who are going to help you make sense of it and navigate through it, as opposed to people who are going to cause you to dwell on it and become over fixated.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And so with the coaching work that I do, I'll often get into these conversations with leaders and you know, hear the sense of loneliness or isolation that they're feeling. And they'll talk about, yeah, I was talking to such and such, and they encouraged me to do this, whatever the piece of advice might have been. And sometimes that advice is actually quite flawed, you know, because it's either pushing them deeper into isolation. So just, you know, leave your team alone, stay away from them, you know, accept the fact that you're not a part of it, or actually flawed the other way in terms of, no, actually really get to know them, really spend more time with them and try to build that friendship. And so a lot of the time through the work that I do with leaders when they describe this, is helping them comprehend it and then sort of come to terms with that sense of loneliness, but not feel so compelled that they need to escape it completely, because I'm not sure we ever can. And even from a pure human perspective, you know, whether we like it or not, no matter how close we get to another person, we're still an isolated single human being. You know, I think Matthew McConaughey in his book Green Lights talks about this, where he talks about, you know, no matter, you know, say you're married or with a partner, no matter who you sleep next to each night, you still wake up as a single human being. You know, you're still an isolated human being. And so for me, you know, if you're going to go out and seek advice to find other people to connect with, find people who help you navigate it in a healthy way, as opposed to try and swing one way or the other, either to more isolation or to more absorption into a team, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if you have like an order of how leaders can overcome loneliness, what are your points that you would tell people to do?
I think number one is accept the fact that it's natural, and it's a natural part of the role that you perform. And I'm not just talking about CEOs. You know, like I was discussing around my Air Force experience, I was a frontline leader, a junior officer in the Air Force, and I felt really lonely, and all my peers felt the same. So I think accepting it for what it is a really healthy thing to do, because then you're, you know, recognizing that it is a part of the leadership construct, especially in organization life. I think the next thing is become aware about what the implications of that is and how you're responding to it. And what I mean by that is that I think when you feel lonely, I've seen leaders, and I will put myself in this bracket in my early career, allow that feeling to take hold and then become more insular and less open to engaging others and asking for help. And so you almost withdraw more from it. I've seen then some people do that to the extent where they become so distant from their team that they just lose, or, and those around them, that they completely lose connection. You know, a couple of years ago, there was a CEO actually got asked to do some coaching work with them that had become so withdrawn from their team that actually they stopped having any real relevance in the organization. And that's because, you know, when I found out, one of the drivers of that was that sense of loneliness, that feeling of the pressure that it all stopped with them, and they just didn't know how to navigate through that. And so that's number one, really understanding it. I think number two, and this is what I talk about in the blog, is then using the power of humility with those people that are around you. And so anybody who has listened to me talk will hear me say things like, I'm not a big fan of the concept of leaders needing to show vulnerability. Now, I know that sounds a bit odd and sort of counter to some of the stuff that you would see out on social media and other famous authors writing about, but vulnerability is not what humans are wired to do. You know, we are wired to stay safe, stay protected, look after our security, whereas vulnerability thrusts us in the other direction, but saying, actually, I don't know what I'm doing here, or et cetera. And what I talk about is rather than relying on vulnerability, take it up a level to humility. And humility builds on vulnerability by saying, actually, I feel really lonely, or I don't know what I'm doing here, or I don't know what the answer is, and says, but I'm sure we can figure it out. And it gives power to the vulnerability by saying, and you know what, this is a challenge, or this is a situation that I can navigate through. And so when you've got that combination of awareness and acceptance, and then using the power of humility, you then just need to start engaging with people in a different way. And that's engaging with your team, you know, through using humility. That's engaging with your peer group using humility. That's engaging with, you know, people like, you know, coaches or mentors, etc. But I think being really deliberate about the people you're engaging with, similar to what I was saying before, I think is really critical, so you're not having that feed the experience that you're having. Instead, it's helping you ease some of the tension that goes with it, and through that use of humility in the conversations that you have.
Can you maybe give some examples of the difference between vulnerability and humility, or like examples of, you know, people you've worked with that have changed the way they work, just to understand the concept more?
Yeah, I ran a workshop for a client a little while ago, and the business was trying to get itself out of trouble. They had had a range of issues, and somebody, one of the team, had made a pretty big mistake that was costing them millions of pounds. And this team member stood up and said, I just need to show a moment of vulnerability here and say, yeah, I screwed up. It was my fault. I did it. Right. And you could see, I mean, whilst it was incredibly brave of them to do that, and I thought the CEO and their peers dealt with it really well, you could see that it didn't give them any form of closure from the experience. It was like opening a wound up and letting it out into the open, as opposed to saying, actually, you know, so that's vulnerability. I screwed up. I got this wrong. Humility would say, I've screwed up. I've got this wrong, but I'd really love your support to figure out how we fix it. Here's my thoughts. I really would appreciate people coming to help me to figure out how we fix it. And again, that probably sounds like a real subtle nuance, but it means that you're not succumbing to the vulnerability, is that you're using it as a mechanism to actually get more focused on how do I resolve whatever it is that's causing me to feel vulnerable. And so, yeah, appreciate again, that's quite nuanced, but this concept of humility, there's huge power in it. And far more power, I think, than in just straightforward vulnerability, if that's useful.
Yeah, in my head, I'm imagining, like, you know, vulnerability, you know, there's like the anguish and you're kind of like on the floor feeling sad and sorry for yourself and look. But then the humility is kind of making yourself get up and be like, OK, now how am I going to solve this?
And if I build on that, just as a further example with a CEO that I worked with, he'd also made a mistake on something, and it put the company under a lot of pressure. And he brought his executive team together, and he said, "Listen, it was my decision. I thought that was the right thing to do. I know that there were counter views in the team. I know that we were split on it, and I took a decision because that's my job."
Yeah.
And that was his expression of vulnerability. He said, "But what I really want us to focus on is how do we get beyond this, and how do we get ourselves back on track?"
Yeah.
"Right. I'd love to hear your ideas." And so through that humility, what he was able to do is to accept the vulnerability that he was feeling, but direct it, use the energy of it to propel forward, say, "Actually, you know what? I'm positive that we can fix this. I'm positive that
the turnaround point."
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If I go back to the other individual who stood up and showed vulnerability, I looked at them and back to the concept of loneliness. And actually they sat there, and whilst people were comforting them, you could see that deep sense of isolation that they felt. Whereas the CEO had actually then used the humility, go beyond the vulnerability, use the humility to enroll people in the process of fixing it. And it created a whole different dynamic between those two scenarios. One was left sort of with this wound that was just there that the whole team, you know, started to become embroiled in. The other one, when the CEO was actually, "Now we're going to get focused on fixing it," and rallied the people together, and it became a point of power for them as a business.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Someone I know actually really struggles with being open with others about their feelings. And I know especially when they're struggling as a leader, what would you suggest that they do?
I think when you're leading a team, it can feel really daunting to be as open as the two examples I've just given. Okay. So don't get me wrong. You know, if you go back to some of my concepts around leadership about, you know, this belief that we all need to be the all-seeing, all-knowing hero, or the great man, as I've called it before, is that we can get trapped in that. And so we can feel really exposed if we show any form of vulnerability. So, you know, I get why people will feel reluctant. And interestingly, just as a further aside, I have seen leaders so fearful of admitting that they've got it wrong, and so fearful of their loneliness, that they stick steadfast to a broken strategy or a dysfunctional strategy until it basically brings them undone or collapses a business. And I think that's just a tragedy. And so I think if you're feeling that, first thing I'd really encourage you to do is to go and find a confidant, you know, not somebody who's going to perpetuate the feeling or try to get you to, you know, artificially solve it or, you know, try to brush it off. Again, as an aside, I remember when I was in the Air Force, my boss said to me, and when I was saying, you know, "John, have you ever felt this? I did, Rob, but, you know, just ignore it and it'll be fine." So, well, that's great advice. I mean, thanks for the pep talk. Do we high five now, you know? And so when you're looking for people, is find a confidant who can really help you. And for me, yeah, this is where coaching is really effective, but finding a mentor, finding somebody you truly respect who can share some wisdom around it and help you navigate it, I think is number one. And then explain to them what you're really struggling with and where that's coming from. Because then, you know, there's a couple of things that I think will come out. Number one, you'll feel like you're not alone. Because actually everybody I know, every leader I've ever worked with has experienced this at some stage. It's much like imposter syndrome. In fact, it's aligned to imposter syndrome or connected to it. And so really good mentors, supporters will share their own experiences of it. And I think then from that, start to think about what's a healthy way to use the acceptance of the feeling of loneliness, but then the power of humility to start to figure out where you can take some action.
Great. Okay, so maybe one last question. When thinking about loneliness, what would be your single biggest piece of advice?
So I think similar to what I've just referenced is find somebody to talk to. One of my favorite quotes comes from an individual called Carl Jung, who's a student of Freud and psychologist. And he talks about secrets being psychic poison. And my explanation of that is that when, I mean, you we all know this from our own lives, is that when we bottle things up and we sit on them, we don't verbalize and we don't express what's really going on for us, you take this small issue and it just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and then all consuming. Hence why I've seen people do some really dysfunctional things. And so finding a true confidant, somebody who you can get some really good advice, support, coaching from, I think is really important. So my single piece of advice is go and find somebody to talk to. Yeah, as always, if, yeah, as a part of what we do with the purpose of a leader, you know, we're more than happy to have a quick conversation with people around this. So, you know, don't sit there feeling like you're alone and don't allow that sort of feeling become the secret or the psychic poison, as Carly Jung would say.
Thank you so much for sharing all your insights, Rob. It's definitely one of those subjects that I think needs to be raised and spoken about, as I can imagine people feel like they might be alone in the feeling, but it's just good to know that it's a common occurrence. So thank you so much. If you, the listener, are experiencing loneliness and you don't have someone you feel that you can confide in, then why not drop Rob an email to rob@purposefulleader.co. He's, as we've said before, he's always very happy to take a call and it isn't going to be at a cost to you. So all that's left to say is thanks for listening. We hope the podcast has been helpful and insightful. Please like and share the podcast and look out for more episodes coming soon. If you want to know more about the Purposeful Leader, check out our page on LinkedIn for the latest blogs, videos, and insights. Thanks so much. Bye.